We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. The Lindsey Patterson, Charlie Goldsmith. I'll call this an emergency Bengals Beat podcast. Charlie, how you doing?
This is our first emergency pod, I would say, since like March, since maybe the Hendrickson signing. So it's been a while without an emergency. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, we're just getting started. I always joke on this podcast, there's really no offseason with the NFL, but with training camp just officially a couple days away, I'm sure we'll have news all the time. We plan on having a couple podcasts a week and just be on the lookout for those, but we'll start with the biggest news on this Sunday. And I joked about it on social media, name a better duo, training camp extensions and the Cincinnati Bengals. This is just what happens. When you look at the Bengals' to-do list, obviously signing all of their draft picks was number one. And then you look at two guys like Sam Hubbard and Jesse Bates. We'll get to Jesse Bates in just a moment. 4 years tacked on $40 million. You know, a lot of people, some would look at that and say, I got overpaid. But I don't think so. Until someone else resets the market, Sam Hubbard still brings a lot of qualities from the leadership side, on the field side. Obviously, you're going to want to keep building and adding more depth onto the defensive line too. But what did you think overall when you saw that contract extension, when you looked at the numbers?
So I coincidentally dove into the numbers last week and pegged what the market for Hubbard might look like. And the number I internally thought about was 9 or 10. And that's exactly what this ends up being, a 4 year, $40 million contract that, if you factor in Sam Hubbard's currently being on his rookie deal this year, it's a cheaper average annual value than that. The thing about Hubbard is he's kind of an underrated defensive end. He's not, in terms of sacks and pressures, in the Trey Hendrickson, Carl Lawson market. Those guys made about 15 mil this year. And as we've seen from Hubbard throughout his career, specifically when he was at full strength, he's an effective defensive end, but not necessarily a number one pass rusher. So that set the ceiling. But the floor with Sam Hubbard is much higher than you would think. No defensive end in the NFL has more tackles than Sam Hubbard over the last 2 years. Over the last two seasons, there are only 25 defensive ends with the same amount of tackles for loss and sacks combined that Sam Hubbard has. He brings a lot to the table. And in addition to what he does off the field, he's an all-around good player and the kind of guy you just want to have in your starting lineup. He's like a good third or fourth starter, an incredibly valuable position that the Bengals, clearly looking at what they did this offseason, prioritize.
Yeah, and I think when you see the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens a couple times a year in your division, and he's good against the run. I mean, even PFF, they had this tweeted out in May, 31 run stops first among edge defenders, 38 tackles on run plays first among edge defenders. I think this is a no-brainer for the Cincinnati Bengals. And just looking ahead, the next question is Jesse Bates. I think that's more of a win than if. I see the team getting this done. It's one of the things that just watching the Cincinnati Bengals over just the last 4 to 5, you could even say 6 years, they pay their guys. I know a lot of people say, well, Carl Lawson, so-and-so didn't bring this guy back. When they have a leader on this team that they want to build around, I would put Sam Hubbard and Jesse Bates in that category. When do you think this is going to happen, Charlie? We've talked about this plenty of times on this podcast.
My prediction, which is now wrong, was that Bates would sign before Hubbard. And I'll explain why. With Hubbard, I used Denico Autry and Dwayne Smoot to kind of set the market, but neither of them were a perfect analog. Autry had similar production, but was 5 years older. Smoot had similar sack numbers, but hadn't been a starter and wasn't as good against the run. So, you know, I kind of was ballparking it around 8-9, adding off those contracts to kind of give Hubbard a boost for what he brings to the table. With Bates, there's a simple and kind of two really easy comparisons, Justin Simmons and Buda Baker. They both set the market about $15 million a year, and you stack up Jesse Bates' production against either of them, and he's right there and arguably better. The safety market, specifically at the top, is as clean as basically any position. We pretty much know what a top safety is worth right now, and Jesse Bates is a top safety. So, you know, projecting what that contract would look like is a much easier conversation, and maybe it'll be a similarly quick negotiation as well.
Anything is possible, and obviously nothing is guaranteed with contract extensions. I don't know why I feel very confident this is going to get done, but for some reason, if I were to guess a week or a date, I'm going to say maybe the second week of August is when this gets done. I'm just throwing it out there. We'll see if that really happens, but I definitely think this is going to happen in the next couple of weeks. We'll keep an eye on that. But another just busy day this Sunday for Bengals news. This came out. I was a little surprised with some of these moves because the rookies reported to Paul Brown Stadium on Saturday. Joe Burrow and the quarterbacks also there. Hakeem Adeniji, not so much surprising. Obviously, that's going to be, well, to be determined on how long he's going to be out with his injury. Drew Chrisman, you look at Wyatt Hubert. Cam Sample on the active non-football injury list. What did you think about when you saw that earlier?
I fully expect, and I guess still do expect, Cam Sample to play a role on the Bengals as a rotational defensive end, being a fourth round pick. He's a guy, I like him, is just purely off the edge in a backup role. Also in certain schemes, he has the size overall. It's a, you know, I think this year the Bengals might line up their defensive ends a little more inside on certain packages and third downs. So he can kind of do that too, but with Sample and adding Hubert and Rennell Wren, now the Bengals are heading into training camp without three of their 15 defensive linemen at full strength. That is not panic mode yet, but it is something to keep an eye on because training camp injuries happen. And now probably aside from the offensive line, the defensive line is the position I have circled. Now you can't have an injury there during training camp. And the news with Sample kind of surprising today, in addition to, you know, Rennell Wren continuing to recover after missing the entire 2020 season. That's something that puts the defensive line position very much more on my radar heading into training camp.
Yeah, and even the Wyatt Hubert, when I talked to Jim Nagy, someone who was really familiar with working with these guys leading up to the draft and just the Senior Bowl alone, he was one of those guys, and I know he was a later pick. He thought that guy's one of the most underrated picks you can get on the last day of the draft for the Cincinnati Bengals. So that's something we're definitely going to be keeping an eye on for the Bengals. And I want to go ahead and get to this. Joe Burrow, and when this news comes out, it's national. I know it's a national reporter. They put it out there. Joe's going to start training camp. All of that's not really surprising for me and you because we saw him in OTAs. We saw him in that one day of mini camp. And Joe told us just a couple weeks ago when it was the last day of that, he wanted to be 100% for training camp. It's still big news. This is a big deal because you actually brought this point up about a month ago. You said us just even talking about if Joe Burrow is going to play in a preseason game is huge. You can go back to the injury. It's obviously devastating, but for him to be where he is, what he looked like at OTAs, this is huge for this team.
In January, if you would have told me that Joe Burrow would do in training camp what he did in OTAs and look the way he did, I'd say, you know, that sounds like a good update for Joe Burrow and his recovery timetable. Well, Joe Burrow was there last month. This month, he's even farther. You know, the Bengals had their recovery rehab side field during training camp. You know, we'll talk about some of those guys and their injury updates over the course of camp, but Burrow wasn't one of them. He was a quarterback, and in probably 75% of cases, he was doing everything the quarterbacks did. There were some differences, and we talked about those ad nauseum during camp, but you know, this news we got today gives me even more confidence there will be fewer of those differences in training camp. You know, I just look forward to talking to Joe Burrow about the improvements he's making for year two, kind of pretending that there is no injury, because while that certainly will be a specter over the season, you know, Joe Burrow has had enough time, had enough opportunity to put in a considerable amount of work this offseason. I'm not ruling out a huge year two jump despite the injury. When he tore his ACL, you wonder what it could do with his development. But today just reinforces that the injury, definitely not as much as we may have thought when it first happened, you know, it's not going to have a huge impact at all on his development.
Losing Hakeem Adeniji, obviously Trey Hopkins coming off the ACL injury the last part of the last season. No surprise the Cincinnati Bengals were going to bring in more offensive linemen for Frank Pollock to work with when it comes to depth positions. And look, they don't have their starters out there. Frank Pollock has said before, I'm putting the best five guys. Jeff Hobson reported today, despite the influx of centers the last few days, starter Trey Hopkins, 6 months out of ACL surgery, also looks to be cleared when he didn't appear on any of the lists the Bengals released on Sunday. For me personally, not surprised at all if the Bengals bring in extra bodies. What did you think about the offensive line news?
Yeah, you know, with Trey Hopkins, aside from probably Jonah Williams, he's the second offensive lineman that this coaching staff during their tenure really kind of made one of their guys. He was a guy they inherited, but they said, you're the guy we want to be the Bengals starting center in this scheme that they're trying to build going forward. You know, we'll spend again all training camp and all season discussing the strengths and the weaknesses of the Bengals offensive line, but I'm giving them a chance to show what their guys can do. And again, Hopkins is very much a guy they strongly believe fits this scheme. So we'll see how that plays out this season. Obviously, they added depth at the position, but from a coaching staff perspective, you know, now they're going into training camp with the potential to play the five and get the reps to the five that they want to have out there during the season.
We are going to have plenty of podcasts as this week happens. The Bengals luncheon's tomorrow. We hear from Mike Brown, Zach Taylor, Brian Callahan, Darren Simmons, just to name a few more. Plenty of that coverage over on Cincinnati.com. But as training camp starts, officially starts on Wednesday, Charlie, what are you looking for on day one?
Well, day one, I think, will fully be about Joe Burrow and those like 15% limitations that we discussed. The two other things I have really highlighted are the offensive line matchups and combinations that they're trying, specifically how much do they throw Jackson Carmen into the fire right away. And then the other most important question during training camp, not question, but, you know, a curiosity during training camp, is how this coaching staff with a new run game coordinator and a healthy, productive Joe Burrow with weapons around him, how is this offense going to try to use it and theoretically maximize Joe Mixon? Is this the year where the coaching staff determines that they want his biggest strengths to come in the passing game and start to rely on Samaje Perine more on, say, a second and four run? Or do they continue what they have done with Joe Mixon, have him be that early down back, and rely on guys like Chris Evans and, when he's fully available, Puka Williams, and maybe a couple other wide receivers to be playmakers out of the backfield when they need it in a passing situation? So, you know, Joe Mixon can do both. I'm really intrigued working with the run game coordinator. Joe Mixon has vocally expressed his support for what the final ruling ends up being on what the best way to use Mixon is.
I know you're a busy guy. You got the Reds coverage. You got training camp starting. You're going to hit a road trip for the Reds later this week. But what do you have online right now for fans to check out?
Yeah, I'm going with the Reds to New York for the trade deadline. But before that, it's going to be one of my favorite weeks of the year in the first week of training camp. Already I have stories up on, of course, Sam Hubbard's extension, what the market looks like and what it means for just the amount of turnover the Bengals have had and keeping one of their guys in Hubbard. I have a roster projection, a look at how the Bengals were built, a look at free agent targets, and a look at Jesse Bates's market now as he hits the extension window as well. And then, of course, next week we start hitting the field, start practicing. I don't put on the pads, but I'm getting excited like I'm putting on the pads. And it should be very fun, a very fun week.
Bengals Twitter is currently ready for training camp to start. It'll feel like Christmas morning on Wednesday for them. Like I mentioned, the Bengals luncheon is tomorrow. So we will have plenty coming your way over on Cincinnati.com when we hear from Duke Tobin, Zach Taylor, and others from Paul Brown Stadium as they get ready for training camp 2021. Also, make sure you check out, just in case you missed it, we interviewed Dave Lapham the other day on the Bengals Beat podcast. He was great. He talked to Joe showing off also the defensive side. So make sure you check that out. We have plenty more interviews coming your way. Thank you for listening to one of our quick Bengals Beat podcasts. We'll have more coming this week.